Praise the Lord, church. Jax is going to sing the solo tonight, and we have a sweet little story to share about why he was picked to sing this song. As most of you know, he's been home from China for about just a little over a year. And when he'd only been home about 6 months, we were riding in the car one day, and he said, "I wish I knew my real name." And I said, "Well, your name is Jackson Pierce." He said, "No, I wish..." Where is he? Oh, he said, "I wish I knew my other name." I said, "Oh, Gao Fa Ke, your Chinese name?" He said, "No, my real name." If you know the history, he was abandoned a little bit older, so he was with a biological family at one time. And he said, and, you know, as a mom, you want to fix that. I just want to say, "Well, this is your real name, you know," but he knows that there's another name. And he sat there and looked out the window for me. He goes, "Mom," he goes, "God knows my real name." And I said, "He sure does, buddy. He knows your real name." I'm just so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that how much he's grown and all the realizations he's coming to. Because he tells me often, he said, "Mom, people in China, they don't know God." And I'm just so thankful for what he knows and that he knows that God knows his name.
Are you thankful that he knows your name? My God is so sweet. He said, "I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you." But he always knows where I am. He cares about my cares, Brother Nathan. He sees me at all times. He knows my thoughts. And he still loves me. Praise God. Glory to God. Oh, we serve an awesome God. Praise Jesus. Can we just, before Brother Dawson comes up, can we just for a few moments surrender ourselves to him? I love him because he first loved me. He's a gentle Savior. He's always on my side, always telling me that I can make it and I can go farther in him. Praise Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on. Come on. Let's see what God's going to do. Let's wait just a moment, momentarily on his presence. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know my name. You know everything about me. You're my all in all. You're my friend that sticks closer than a brother. You're my lily in the valley. You're my bright and morning star. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
In the name of
Jesus,
there's healing in the name of
Jesus, everything's my name,
protection in the name of
Jesus,
deliverance in the name of
Jesus,
there's freedom in the name of
Jesus, everything I need is in that name,
power,
Jesus,
salvation in the name of
Jesus,
there's healing in the name of
Jesus.
Protection in the name of
Jesus.
Deliverance in the name of
Jesus.
There's freedom in the name of
Jesus. Everything I need. Jesus.
There's freedom in the name of
Jesus. Everything I need is in that name.
Oh, I wish I would have known
about the cross, your blood, your tears, your love. You did this for me.
Oh, I wish for so long.
Wish it I would have been told
about your love. In the name of
Jesus,
there's freedom in the name of
Jesus. Everything I need is in that name. Oh,
hallelujah, Lord.
You still got that attitude tonight, Swan? You still got that Holy Ghost attitude tonight? Anybody got an apostolic attitude in the house? Y'all gonna help me get through this? I'm mad, Twan. Isaiah 59, verse 15. This is not the part of the show where y'all just sit there and watch me preach. This is interactive, but it's not just interactive as far as amens. If you feel like running the aisles in the middle of the preaching, run the aisles. If you feel like hitting the altar, hit the altar. If you feel like doing a flip and you have the physical capabilities, do a flip. Will somebody let God get a hold of them tonight? Thank you. 3, 4. Will somebody let God get a hold of you tonight? Will somebody let God grip you down in your core tonight? Isaiah 59:15 through 20. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on a righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord, Go to Isaiah 63 quickly. Isaiah 63, starting in verse 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel and thine garments, like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiments. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. I want to preach for a little bit tonight on the standard. The standard. Let's pray and ask God that He'll be with us. God, I give you. And if you're ready to let God reach down and transform you this evening, if you're willing to let Him have His way in your life, just go ahead and give Him one more hand clap of praise. So in Isaiah 59, the Jews are in trouble due to their sin. The prophet is speaking to him, Isaiah, and he tells him what's going to happen. Verse 15, he says there's no judgment. God's not happy because there's no judgment. Verse 16, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. The word wondered there can be translated as stunned, devastated, astonished. No judgment, no intercessor. Why? We jump back up to verse 3. In 59, he says, for your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath uttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity. Does that sound like any state of affairs that you're familiar with tonight? We live in a city where none are calling for justice. There's nobody saying what is the word of truth. But there's pulpits all over the city that'll preach vanity. And like Israel, we stand in this day. Don't want to be judged. Don't judge me. Don't tell me truth. Just let me do my thing. In the Hebrew, the word vanity can be translated as lie, waste, desolation, confusion, without form. And we live in a religious world that celebrates lack of form. You just get together and just have a free flowing of the Spirit. But don't tell me what I can and can't do. Don't tell me what thus say. I just want to feel my way through a move of God. I want goosebumps. I want Holy Ghost heebie-jeebies. But I don't want to change my lifestyle. I don't want to give up my Monday morning Jack Daniels or my Tuesday morning flirting with the secretary at work. I just want to have fun in my service. It's vanity. There's no form to it. Verse 6, their webs shall not be a covering. They're not going to become garments because they can't cover themselves with their own works. The only way you can cover is with God. We see that very first in the garden when Adam and Eve sin and they try to make their own covering. But you have to do it God's way. You've got to do it by the book for it to cover. It's got to have form. For vanity is not going to do it. It's got to be as per the word of God. And you won't cover. Verse 8, they don't know peace. No judgment. They made a crooked path. judgment's far from us. And these were the Israelites. They were looking for judgment. Because if you're in covenant with God, you're not afraid of judgment. That's why I'm not afraid of the end times. Bring it on, baby, because I'm on the right side. You see, it was the judgment of God in the day of Noah. Water was the judgment of God. But what saved Noah, according to 1 Peter, it was the water, not the boat. So if you're in the boat, if you're in covenant with God, then you say, even so, come quickly, Lord. Because when the judgment of God sweeps through, it validates who and what you are. It shows the world what you're made of, and it saves you. Because if I have to stay in this backslidden world too long, I don't know if I can take it. God, you gotta come with your judgment. I'm not scared of the judgment of God. Not because I'm a good man. Not because I'm holy. Because I'm in covenant with Him. Because I'm covered by His blood. So in this mindset, Israel says in verse 9, they wait for light, but they're still in darkness. Look for judgment, but there's none. That's the setting. No man, no judgment. So, classic Israel. Isaiah's prophesying to them. He's talking to them. They've backslidden. They've walked away from God. They've been blessed. They've walked into sin. The preacher pushed us this morning to pray. And we prayed, right? We prayed pretty good. Right? We prayed. We had a good move of God. Right, Steve? It's powerful, wasn't it? Y'all all nervous. Look, I'm preaching to myself tonight, okay? So everyone that's prepared to get offended, you're ready? I'm going to give you plenty of information to get offended with. So, I'm not preaching to you. I'm just preaching to me, okay? I prayed good. It was good. It was all right. You know what, Torrin? I had Eli in my arms. And I'm walking up and down here. You know what the Holy Ghost spoke to me? He said, can you pray like your baby's sick unto death when your baby's healthy? Can you pray like your wife's about to turn around and walk out on you when the marriage is good? Come on, spoiled American church. We like Israel can get real comfortable. Does my baby have to be on the deathbed in order for me to fall out in front of God? Can I live in the miracle? Can I live in blessing? I'm not doing too good. I'm preaching to me. It's nothing to do with you. So Steve, I walked back and forth, and I held it, I said, oh God. And I felt, man, I'm pushing it because I'm yelling and everything. And you're telling me, as a man of God, that God spoke and said, it's time to pray. And that was my response. I gave it, all I had. I yelled a little bit, oh God. I didn't shake a city. I didn't shake hell. And I didn't even pray like I would have prayed if my mom was dying or if my baby was dying. If there was some tragedy going in my life, you'd have heard me all the way down at the Thunder Inn. If there was trouble in my life, you would have heard me back at my house in Trustville. But everything's going okay right now. So the best I could muster was just a, oh God. Can you live in the blessing? Verse 16, he said there was no intercessor. The word intercessor, to impinge, collide, strike, encroach, trespass with violence. With violence. How long has it been since I've been violent in the house of God? How long has it been since I've been violent about the things of God? How long has it been since I've collided, since I struck, encroached, trespassed? In other words, there's some things that the devil's taken. There's some territory that he's taken. How long has it been since I got so violent in my pursuit of God in prayer or worship that I started tiptoeing into his territory? That I started stepping on his toes. I'm going to tell you something. This morning, I didn't step on his toes. I'll be honest with you. I was in the safe little comfort zone that I always pray in. I didn't get up in the devil's business at all. I can promise you that. There was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him. And his righteousness, it sustained him. That's the prophetic. That's what was going to happen. Now go to chapter 63. The watchman on the wall in Jerusalem, he looks out. And he sees this figure, Tuan, coming out of the gloom. He says, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. The prophecy, Jesus said, I took salvation. I couldn't find a man. I couldn't find an intercessor. So I took it in by my own right hand. And what we have here is we have the watchman on the wall seeing a man coming out of the gloom. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. That's the response. That's the warrior coming in out of the gloom. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? Dyed garments, pungent, stained. So this guy's come staggering out and he's looking nasty. His garments are dyed. Go on to the next verse. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? He's got big red splashes all over him. And thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat. Whenever they treaded the grapes to make the wine, the juice would jump up on there, fly up. Little chunks of grapes would fly up on there. There's a warrior coming out of the gloom, and he's covered in blood. One of the translations says incarnate. Flesh, indicating as little chunks of grizzled flesh and pieces of grossness in his garments. He's got blood and guts coming out of his hair. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? I have trodden the winepress. Go back. I have trodden the winepress alone. And of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. Dazzling red, the guy's covered, he's panting. When it says the glory of his strength, the greatness of his strength, traveling in the greatness of the strength, here's what you got to see. A warrior, he's coming out of the gloom. He's covered in grime and grit and blah. And it indicates that he's swaggering. He's walking with his head back. His hips are swinging. And when it says traveling in the original Hebrew, it has the connotation of tipping over. In other words, he's coming through and he's kicking stuff out of the way. He's got an attitude. The heat of the battle is still on him. He's still breathing a little heavy. And he's got that look in his eye that says, you see all this? That you could be next. Splattered all over my garments. He just tore the fool out of something. And he still got his mad on. He still got his attitude on. I've trodden the winepress alone. The people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury. The blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. I will stain all my raiments. Where did this one man wrecking ball come from? He came from Edom. He came from Bozrah. Bozrah was the capital city of Edom. Edom was the city of the descendants of Esau. Esau who sold the birthright. Esau who said, I gotta have food lest I die. Esau who gave the birthright of the firstborn, the spiritual blessings of God, away for a trinket, for a bowl of soup. This is a prophetic statement about Jesus and the ministry of Jesus and Jesus dying on the cross for the sins of man. My preaching is better than that. But this warrior comes out of the heart of a lackadaisical spirit, of a laid back, everyone's okay attitude. And he's got his swagger on. He's got death all over him. And he says, my fury, it upheld me. My fury, it upheld me. And tonight, I pray that God puts a fury on us. Because we don't need another good sermon. Thank God. Because you're not getting one now. This church has had enough good preaching to last every one of us till eternity. We don't need another good move of God in an altar service. We've had plenty of those. But we're not going to survive if we don't have something that grips us down in our core. So on Monday, we walk this thing right. So on Tuesday, we walk this thing before. Your focus can't be on this building. Your focus can't be on church services. Church service isn't going to save you. Good preaching isn't going to save you. We have enough word. We've had enough praise services. But there's got to be something down inside that grips you, that is powerful enough to drive you when you're out there in the world. And tonight, I'm angry. I'm angry at the spirit that came and destroyed my family. I'm angry, Tuan. I'm angry at the spirits that come into church and start messing with the young people. I'm angry with the spirit that comes in here at these young ladies and starts telling them to hang your head low because of holiness. I'm angry at the spirit that comes in and messes with the young men and says, unless you mess around with a girl, you're not a man. I'm angry with the spirit of this day that says you don't need all these rules and these regulations. You don't need all this form, all this bondage. This warrior, he said, my fury upheld me. My fury upheld me. But we live in a generation that's not mad. Steve, we live in a generation that's really comfortable. really comfortable snuggling up to I'm okay and you're okay. We live in a generation that's really comfortable sitting down with these little spirits that'll creep in, messing around with the media, entertaining things on YouTube that you know isn't right. Entertaining things on YouTube that you know isn't right. Looking at things that you know you wouldn't be looking at if the pastor was around. We live in a generation that's real comfortable having good church, but not being mad at the world. Not the people, Twan, but the spirits behind it. Not the homosexual, but I'm mad at that spirit that's got down in that young man's head and twisted up his heart. And twisted up his mind and has him so confused that he doesn't know what's up and what's down. There are heinous, evil, twisted spirits out there that are preying on these young people and on our middle and oh, everybody, don't you see? And I can't get comfortable, Twan, walking through this world and just being okay with it. I won't survive. I won't survive. I've got to have an attitude. I've got to have a fury. There's got to be something down inside of me that is stronger. I've been through hell on earth. I've seen trouble. And it doesn't push me out the door. It makes me mad at the devil. It doesn't make me say I'm going to walk away from the church. It makes me say I got to pray. Because that same spirit that took down my dad is stalking the streets of this city. And he's taking families every day and every night. And there's no one to oppose him. There is no intercessor. If it's not us, who will it be? They don't even know what they're dealing with. And if I don't do it, there's kids in your school on the verge of suicide. And who's going to stand in the gap? Because it's a spirit that's got a hold of their little brains and their little hearts. And it's twisted them up. And it's convinced them that there's nothing to live for. You think a guidance counselor is going to talk him out of that? Who's going to pray that spirit out of your school if you don't? My fury upheld me. You got to hate it. Come on, kids. Don't you get comfortable. Don't you get okay just sliding in and out of church. Steve said this morning there was 10 virgins, 5 foolish, 5 wise. They were all in the church. They were all in the church. They were all sitting on the pew. 1 out of 2 didn't make it. But the first thing that's got to die, Twan, eat them. Eat them. Eat them. Flesh. Flesh. You can't walk into your school in the power of the anointing if your own flesh hasn't died yet.
The scripture indicates that the blood on his raiment, it was his own and his enemies. Jermaine, we got to get in a prayer meeting. Well, when you walk out, they say, who is this? Coming from Tuesday night prayer. Red in his garments. And you've got the attitude on. You're looking for the devil. You're looking for sin. Where's that pornography? I'm going to tear it up. Where's the drugs? I'm going to rip them right out of your arm. But when you don't even have your own flesh under subjection, when you're living in Edom and comfortable about it, you know what happened to me this morning, Steve? I knew I needed to push it, but I was afraid of what all y'all would think about me. It's my pride. My pride. Oh, pastor's out of town. He has to preach tonight. So look at him trying to be super spiritual. That's the thoughts went through my head. You know what I thought? I thought they're going to say, oh, he's trying to steal the service away from Stephen. What is that? That's stupid. It's Edom. It's flesh. It's ego. It's me. And it won. I did my little, oh, God. And then I excused myself because I had a baby. Holding a child, don't want to yell too loud. You startle the children. Always be an excuse, Steve. But at some point, I pray God. You know what one of my problems is? I told y'all just preaching to me. Y'all get to listen. One of my problems is there's some sin I don't hate. I like it. Because I have flesh. So I got to pray, God, help me to hate it. God, make me hate it. I've seen what it does. I've seen what it does. But my stinking flesh is so strong sometimes, Steve. And you know the only way that I can hate it? I gotta get closer to him. If I'll get closer to him, then his righteousness will come down on me. And then I'll hate it like he hates it, Steve. I gotta pray. I gotta pray. I gotta pray, God, not my will. Because my will likes things it doesn't need to like. My ego, my pride. Who is this? Comes from Bozrah. A man who just slaughtered himself. A man who just killed himself. He laid down on a cross. He had given his whole life. He had lived for them and then he died for them. And that's why he's walking like a beast. He's a beast, Davin. You can't touch him. He's like, I took care of all that business and I'll take care of you too. You want some of this? He's got righteous rage on him. My rage upheld me. And we got to get gripped, church. We got to get gripped by a fury. You've seen what sin does. You've seen what these spirits do. How about next time you hear about somebody messing up, instead of going on Facebook to look at their pictures and see how far they've fallen, how about you pray for them? How about that? How about instead of gloating over how far they've fallen and oh my God, I can't believe they did that. Why don't you get down on your knees and pray against the spirit that's tormenting them. Pray against the enemy that's playing with their life. Instead of getting offended at your brother or mad at your sister, you pray against the spirit of division that's trying to drive a wedge in the church. How about instead of getting an attitude with your pastor for what he preaches, you pray God gives you a spirit of submission and you bind that spirit of rebellion that's trying to get down in your heart. My fury upheld me. Yes, 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 yes. Come on, somebody, let your fury be stronger than your pride. Let your fury be stronger than your flesh. Let your fury uphold you. No, 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 devil. You won't take my family. You won't take my ministry. You won't. Come on, church. It's hair, teeth, and eyeballs. It's not patty cake. Yeah, it's okay to get a little hysterical. Let your fury uphold you. Yes, yes, yes. That comes from new life with his raiments stained with blood. Who is this apostolic marching down the streets of Birmingham?
No, 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 no.
been hurt and I've been wounded, but my fury is stronger. I've been offended, but my fury at the Spirit. And once you've taken care of self in Edom, once you've taken care of the flesh at Bozar, the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. What does the Spirit of the Lord lift up? It lifts up people. I am the standard. I am the standard. Bert, you're the standard. When you're at UAB and the enemy is all around with money and drugs and everything this world has to offer, pride and ego, and it's all flowing, what does the Spirit of the Lord lift up? It's you. You are the standard. You stand there in the middle of it all and say, no, I declare. Young person at school, you are the standard. Ma'am, sir, at work, you are the standard. At home, you are the standard. Walking through the streets of Birmingham, I am the standard. They're not the standard, and I'm the one that's antiquated and not lining up. I'm the standard. Don't drag your head, young person, into that school because of your holiness standards. You're the one who has it right. You are the standard. It's time to pick your head up and walk through this city, kicking things over and knocking stuff down. The apostolics are here. I am the standard. I am the standard. I'm not scared of your Trinitarian doctrine. I'm not scared of not Baptist. And when you get out there and the pressure's hot, and the world's leaning on you, and they're pushing on you, and everything's crowding in on you, let that fury boil up. No! No, I am the standard. It stops right here. It stops right here. You can tell dirty jokes there, but it stops right here. You can blaspheme the name of the Lord there, but it stops right here. I am the standard. But if you don't have the fury, you're going to crash like a house of cards. I know it because I've seen it time and time again. I've watched them turn around and I've watched them walk away for a list of reasons as long as my arm. And that's not a very long arm. As long as Mike Landrum's arm. That's a lot of reasons. But Devin, when you got that fury, when you got something deep down inside you, it says, no, I saw what you did to my family. I know where my brother is today, and I hate you for it. I hate you for it. That's right, it's okay to hate. I hate that spirit. That spirit of compromise. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Don't come to me telling me I don't have to do this and I don't have to do that. I am the standard. And I hate that spirit. And it's not slipping into my church. And it's not slipping into my family. And it's not slipping into my spirit. It's not slipping into my home. But if my flesh is alive and well, then it's got room to come in. Does that make sense tonight? I can't afford to not hate the devil. Because he's got too much in common with my flesh. You hear me? He looks too much like me. And there's things in him I love. Because I'm fallen. And I've got a fallen nature. I can't let him get close. Can't let him get close. I gotta snuggle up to God. You hear me, church? We had a call to prayer this morning. I'm just telling you tonight, this is serious. This is serious. Deadly serious. I'm going to offend someone, Steve. We sit up here, and some folks, oh, that's those young guys. Look at them, they're so cute. They're all fired up, and they're so excited. That's so precious. They're so cute. Ha, ha, ha. Bless them, Lord, with that little attitude. And the families are falling apart. There is nothing about this that's cute. You have to be a professional. You have to be a professional. It's got to be every day. You got to have an attitude. We got to get serious, church. Pardon me. For a minute there, I acted like I was preaching to y'all. I gotta get serious. I gotta get real serious. I gotta get real serious on Monday. I gotta get real serious on Tuesday.
Zach, I love the way you worship. It's powerful. When I look at Zach, I think of David. Because he's worshiping with all of his might. And I know you do, but you got to make sure you pray with all of your might. And you got to live with all of your might. Some of you cried out tonight. But don't you dare leave that in this altar. And don't you dare leave that in this sanctuary. But tomorrow, when you sit down at that computer, and that advertisement pops up. That needs to well up in your spirit. That's got to well up in your spirit. Young man, when you're walking down the road and the half-naked girl walks by, the bell goes off inside, ding, ding, ding. It's got to rise up in your spirit. You got to live for God hard. The pastor says all the time, if you do it easy, it's hard. If it's hard, it's easy. But I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to give you a little tool tonight. Fury. Let the fury uphold you. But if you're not close to him, then you don't hate the devil. So it comes down to what every sermon ever preached pretty much comes down to. Pray and read your Bible. And don't you dare hang your hopes on the next church service. Don't you dare say, oh, if I can just get to church again. Don't you dare say, oh, if Brother Marks will call me out, I need a word from God. Books full of words from God. And I love it when a man of God comes and talks to me. But I got a brilliant idea for you. Why don't you hear from God yourself? Why don't you talk to God yourself? Too many people come to church to try to stay saved. You'll never survive. But you got to pray. You got to put his rightness or righteousness. And I got to, I've probably been too transparent already tonight. He's nervous. Just say what I've already said. There's things out there. There's stuff about the devil that I don't hate. But I got to get close to God because I got to hate it. Fury. That's a good fury face, Josh. Do it again. Oh. I don't know what we're doing. I think we're done. Lindsay, why don't you play a fine tune? Something about fury and anger. And and I don't mind. I don't want to leave this at an emotional because when you do that, a lot of times you leave it in the moment. You've got to walk away with this. You've got to walk away with this. This has got to go with you out of the altar. I was in a prayer meeting and the tongues and interpretation went forth. And a lady got a word from God, and it was powerful. And then the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, you need to go tell her to make sure she keeps this. Because a lot of people get a word from God in a service,
and you walk out on Monday morning and that same thing that was troubling you walks up and smacks you upside the head again, and you say, "Oh God, where are you?" And he's saying, "I just told you what to do last night." You got to take that word back out, and you got to refresh the, it's like he gave you a weapon, and you take it and you say, "Ooh, had a good move of God." You leave it at the altar and you walk away, and you fight the same battle you were just fighting, and you're weaponless. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, not the Logos, but the Rhemas. And the Holy Ghost told me in that prayer meeting for that lady that when that spirit, when that attitude, when that same thing that was on you comes back, speak what I told you in the prayer meeting. And when you speak it, the same deliverance you felt in that prayer meeting, you'll feel the next day. Because that's my delivering word to you. And there's too many apostolics that stand mute before a devil who's beating them silly, and they've got a plethora of weapons, and they don't say anything. They leave it at the altar. Take it with you tonight. Fury. Let your fury uphold you. Pray. God, help me hate the devil. Help me hate sin. Because there's some things about sin I really like and I don't need to. Let's just, I have no idea. Steve, how do you end this? Let's all gather around the front with our families. Y'all thought you were going to get away without that. Get up with your family. Just say a prayer. God, help me. Give me the strength. Give me the power. I am your standard. When I walk into my place of business, when I walk into my school, when I walk down the streets of this city, help me to be the standard.